welcome to Talking Shift. Today, I'm actually flying solo because Tom is off being an amazing dad, as per usual. But I'm very excited and very honored to have the wonderful Dr. Darren Weissman on the podcast. Dr. Weissman is a holistic physician. He's an expert on the subconscious mind and the developer of the Lifeline Technique. He is the best-selling author of, hold your breath, everyone, The Power of Infinite Love and Gratitude, Awakening to the Secret Code of Your Mind, The Daily Lessons of Infinite Love and Gratitude, and The Heart of the Matter. He is also a contributing author of Dr. Emoto's best-selling book, which I love and adore, The Healing Power of Water. Dr. Weissman is an international speaker in the field of consciousness, and he's been featured in the films Emotion, Making Mankind, Beyond Belief, The Truth, and the recently released Netflix documentary, Heal. I had to go into all of that. Dr. Weissman, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Marinelle.
It's really an honor. I initially reached out to you because I watched the Heal documentary and was really drawn to, obviously there are a lot of great people on this documentary.
Yeah.
But I was really drawn to what you said specifically about our problems being a portal. And yeah, it really spoke to me. And I said, okay, that's it. We have to get Dr. Darren Weissman on the show. I need this guy on the show. I want to first start off by, you know, you introducing yourself a little bit and telling us a little bit about the Lifeline Technique.
Well, first and foremost, thanks for doing what you're doing in the world and helping people to recognize that there's other ways to see health challenges, whether it be physical or emotional.
Right.
And that's such a huge thing. I have been passionately serving people for the past 26 years as a holistically trained chiropractor, acupuncturist, and naturopath, and woke up to the Lifeline Technique literally as an awakening June 17th, 2002. In a singular moment, I saw how everything that I had studied with people from around the world, different points of view and perspectives come together in a singular image that I wrote out. It took about 30 to 40 minutes to write it out. And it was a step-by-step blueprint of the mind,
right?
Specifically the subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a system that helps us to interpret the role that our mind plays as far as when it comes to symptoms, dis-ease, behaviors that are reactive, things that are painful and stressful on
right.
one level or another. This process of the Lifeline begins by what you just said, looking at them rather than as a problem, looking at them as something that's meaningful, what I call a portal, which is a doorway into the next greatest version of ourself, and whether that be the next greatest version and how we think about ourselves or others, how we feel in any and every given moment, our relationships, and ultimately manifesting our future. So it's, you know, there's a lot to talk about with it, but it's a lifeline for people that oftentimes have done so many different things and don't really understand what's below the surface that's broadcasting these unique puzzle pieces in the way that they are for us.
Absolutely. It's interesting that you mentioned the word puzzle. That's one ebook that I'm working on. I struggled many, many years with chronic neck pain, and it was very interesting. My background is, my grandfather was a pioneer in preventative and holistic medicine, a doctor of medicine, but very much believed in our state of mind and everything that feeds disease, you know, not just the food, everything that's that feeds disease. Yeah. And his whole life's mission was to live life optimally, not just kind of get by, not be dependent on a quadrillion, you know, different prescriptions, but to live life optimally and to live life in a way that's, you know, that we can really enjoy it and deep into our old age, not just, okay, life is over. I'm around 45. Like, things are going to start shutting down soon. And our podcast specifically is called Talking Shift because, you know, we want to encourage everyone listening to keep an open mind to allow for possible paradigm shifts. And I think, you know, the second anyone starts to speak about energy, people get real, unless you're like in a sea, unless you're in a sea of Reiki masters or that clan or that tribe, that, you know, those peeps, as they would say, like people start to get a little bit like, ooh, this is woo-wee, this is nonsense. And I think, you know, this is a really big issue because they shut themselves off completely to the idea that healing can occur on a different level. And I think, like, again, what you said drew me in because as I was going through the journey of like understanding what's going on with this chronic pain, I don't really get it. You know, nutrition wise, like off the charts, optimal health, like pat on the back. Good job, Marinella. Okay. But what's going on here? I have friends that eat complete garbage and have zero pain, are living their best life, are, you know, and even stress levels, like stress levels are managed, optimal, you know, the nutrition is good. And that's kind of what led me down the path to explore other things that may be contributing to pain. And that's when I started to hone in on emotions and the subconscious. And, you know, is it something that, are these emotions wanting to be liberated from the body, and are they actually stuck in my body and creating pain? Obviously, I think that your work really spoke to me because that's something that you tend to kind of dig deeper with the people that you work with on.
Big time. Yeah. And it's funny, play on words, but energy and motion is emotion.
Right.
And, you know, and as much as I, you know, people have different perspectives, I'm great with skepticism, as skepticism is what drove me to really awaken to this unique process that I've developed and share with others. But, you know, if you want to understand the health of the heart, you do an EKG. You want to understand the health of the brain, you do an EEG. You want to understand the health of muscles, you do an EMG. These are all electrocardiogram, electroencephalogram. Energy is just a natural part of life. There's nothing to prove here in any way. It's just more change the way you view things. The things that you view begin to change. So what appears to be like, oh, you know, this person triggers me into anxiety or frustration, or this situation causes me to feel overwhelmed. What's going on in our interpersonal, professional, family relationships? How we in any given moment are reactive on the outside is the same thing that's actually going on intercellularly in between our organs, glands, and systems. The vibration and the frequencies, the chi, the life force, whatever it is that we want to call it, is something that's truly dynamic. And most of our perceptual reality is subconscious. Right. Sub meaning below, like a submarine. We don't know what's in the subconscious. And if we did, it wouldn't be called that. So as a result, having access or being able to gain access or create a portal to the subconscious mind opens up a world that orchestrates the trillions of cells in our body, creates our perception in any given moment. So it's fundamental. It's fundamental to be able to go, just to be curious and wipe the slate clean and go, wow. You know, as a chiropractor, I always wondered, like, why do I have to keep on adjusting this particular segment of the spine?
Is it correct?
Right? Like, I don't want to see somebody 5 days a week. Why do I have to keep on doing these needle acupuncture points in the same way? How come this person's deficient in this particular vitamin, or that homeopathic remedy isn't holding? What is it that leads to this repetitious pattern that goes on that we're capable of perceiving consciously? Because below the surface is something that's driving it. And at the core of that are memories. Memories that aren't fully processed. Memories that have not been integrated into the hard drive and the hard wiring of who we are, they become these wild cards that are absolutely emotionally charged. And these memories, when they get triggered, hijack our present moment. In the design of who we are is our brain and body don't know the difference between memory or reality. And so what happens is this memory hijacks the present moment. And now all of a sudden I'm perceiving through a lens as if I was still five in an environment where the environment was absolutely emotionally reactive, situations going on that caused people to really be struggling. And that energy becomes something that not only causes me to see life as the five-year-old again and again, but my body adapts as if I was five. And what we call that is maladaptation. I'm not in the present moment.
Right.
I'm adapting from the past moment, which is maladaptation. And as a result, that stress factor leads to, from subtle to extreme, degenerative processes throughout the body.
I mean, and it's so fascinating too, like your background in chiropractic work, because myself, I mean, dealing with, you know, a decade of this pain, oh man, I've been, you name it, witch doctor, acupuncture. I started to question because it was exactly what you said. Here's this Band-Aid. You know, I'm in pain. I go to the chiro, I get an adjustment. 4 days later, I'm in pain. I go to the car. So we're not really getting to the root cause of what's going on here, are we? It's not, right. It's not as bad. Of course, it's not as bad as a pharmaceutical liver toxic drug. You know, and I understand some of those are very necessary for some people, depending what they're going through, but long-term, what's going on here? What kind of damage are we causing? And long-term, what's going on here when I'm fully dependent on somebody literally cracking my neck every 6-7 days? So interestingly enough, also I have a good friend of mine who's a Reiki master that made a comment to me. He said he went to an acupuncture session, felt incredible, and then was very drawn towards receiving that same benefit without the needles. And I was like, whoa,
there you go.
Like, what is this guy talking about? It really started to make sense to me. I just want to share a story with you. I've been studying acting for many, many years. Almost 2 full decades. And I think, you know, obviously it helps because you're pushed to access your emotions to kind of open all sorts of portals and go down all sorts of rabbit holes. Or as my acting coach would like to say, just be a sacrificial lamb, really allow yourself to feel things. And it's a process. It's very hard. It's almost like the first 8 years in class, you're just kind of acting from the neck up, which is very easy. He made a recommendation for me to go see a Linklater coach. And I was like, Linklater, well, what is this about? It turns out Meryl Streep never actually thanked her own acting coaches along the way. She thanked her Linklater coaches. And a Linklater coach is somebody that works with breath and really helps you fully breathe. You know, when Meryl Streep is acting, she emotes us because she's acting from like her pinky toe to the top of her head. I mean, just
pure soul.
Pure soul. She's so present. She's fully experiencing. She's not delivering. She's fully being. And I went to see this Linklater coach, and it was very much an aha moment for me. She has a beautiful space, very safe space in Santa Monica. First of all, I didn't feel any kind of trauma or anything. I'm just like, wow, this is exciting. I'm going to go try something that might help me on stage. This is interesting. I went to see this woman. She had a beautiful guest house. We started to work on the breath, and she found it incredible, like how difficult it was for me to take a deep breath, to actually breathe. So if she, honestly, she had to have me lay on the floor so that I could actually breathe where she needed me to breathe. And something interesting happened when I got up and then I was standing. She was right behind me, and she very, very lightly just put her hand on my back. And she's like, I want you to breathe into right here, like right where my hand is. And then all of a sudden, I was a complete mess, just crying and sobbing. And that, apart from being obviously embarrassing for me, because, you know, I'm like, this is supposed to be a breath class. Like, what's going on here? For, I think she's seen this more times than she can, you know, count. And that really led me down the path too. What are we holding on? Like, when we hold on to old memory or trauma or the past or guilt, anger, all of these feelings. So this is energy that we're holding on to. How's it affecting us? And then I started to go down like, wait, does my neck pain have something to do with emotion, me holding things in? You know, what is the pain? Again, this is what I always tell other friends that are, even my sister now is dealing with a lot of physical problems. I'm like, well, what is the body speaking to us, but can we hear the body when it speaks to us? What is it telling us? It's like, 'cause what we're doing is we're running I mean, no offense. It's like, you're a holistic practitioner, you're a doctor, but it's like, we run to the doctor, fix this problem. I don't think we're paying attention.
And the beauty is that, yeah, I actually do work with people, but my greatest gift is I teach people how to do this for themselves.
Right.
And rather than being dependent upon me, because that model of having doctor patient, you know, put somebody where, you know, they're looking outside of themselves rather than recognizing, as you discovered in that beautiful experience, the connection inward through your own breath. When there's trauma, our breath goes from the belly to the chest. It becomes shallow. We hold our breath. It's right. A natural tendency of the body to do that. So when we have these particular moments, these memories, and they're throughout our whole life, specifically between conception and seven, we're imprinted, we're conditioned with reactive patterns. I call them gaps, but the gap, rather than being a separation, represents a gratitude action potential. It gives us this gift and strange wrapping paper where, whether it be like your neck or whether it be someone with digestive challenges to allergies to cancer, there's not a disease that doesn't have an emotional signature on one level or another. So, you know, I have this woman who, I love that you said your one friend as far as doing acupuncture without needles. That's what Lifeline is.
Yeah.
That kind
of blew my mind a little bit, because I'm like, what is this? What are you talking about? Like, how is that even possible?
How is it possible? I was just working with a woman in New York. So I'm in Chicago, and she's been suffering since she was a little girl with chronic challenges. And she's gone through multiple surgeries on her low back. And she reached out to me, and I worked with her remotely through Zoom conferencing. And I just had my third session with her yesterday. And she was in tears of joy because she had been suffering. She was so depressed. She was in so much pain and angst. She has young kids that she can't participate in the family. She feels literally crippled and handicapped, where her life is just dwindling away, and she's in her late 40s. Mm. And on her third session, while we're miles and miles away from each other, I'm able to guide her through a process of her mind that enables her to activate her own mind medicine that influences the decrease of inflammation, that influences how cells talk to one another and recognize damaged cells. It's such a powerful process. There's no cookie cutter approach with anything or anyone,
right.
But there's a means to the process and how one goes about creating change on an emotional level that is buried within our subconscious. So, yeah.
And I think it's also, you know, again, I think it's a little easier for me because I've spent so much time studying the craft of acting and allowing myself to feel in front of others. I think there's a lot of taboo around this. I think, you know, here it's, you know, I'm originally from Argentina. There, if you go to therapy, you're just an insane person. I think that as a society, we have a hard time opening ourselves up emotionally or being emotional around others. And I think that's a big problem, because now I'm even reflecting back to, again, me trying a myriad of things, like while in pain, that's what you do. You're just like, let me try this, that. So I tried Rolfing, which is very intense. As I'm sure you know, it was in his place in Manhattan. And when he first worked on me, he started to press really hard my chest area, like upper, you know, right where my underneath my clavicle. And I also vividly remember wanting to cry, and I just was holding it in because it's embarrassing. I'm like, here I am getting technically just a hardcore massage, you know, like to try to deal with pain. But at that point, this was about 12, yeah. I mean, I guess probably when the pain started, so like 11 years ago. And so I wasn't making any kind of that connection. But now thinking back, I'm like, wow, even laying on this Rolfer's table, I remember wanting to kind of hold it in. And I think that's one of the bigger issues, is that not many of us are willing to look through the portal and deal with like what our body is telling us. Do you encounter that a lot with the people that you work with?
No, not at all. I find people to be open more these days than ever. I mean, I've been doing this for the past almost 17 years. That's when I woke up to the Lifeline. And, you know, these days people want something different and are willing to actually take that leap. So I actually find that, you know, if you confidently just express with authenticity and real compassion and love for a person, that people can feel that. And people want to feel better. And yeah. So if you can offer somebody something that enables that, then people are open to it. And the thing about the Lifeline specifically, and there's, as you're bringing up all different kinds of things, the Lifeline's an integration of 14 plus different systems all into one unified process. And it's not therapy, but it's very therapeutic. And the crazy part about it is that it's not to heal people. The body's designed to heal.
Right.
We at our core are loving beings. Even people that do horrible things, there is a consciousness in us that just has walls around it, protective layers and core limiting beliefs that perpetuate these reactive fear-based patterns. But when a person's at least just open to show up, mm-hmm. that change can begin at any moment, no matter where a person's at, is one step at a time. I've experienced so many amazing, beautiful, inspiring experiences with different people from different walks of life. And I really feel like it's as much as the world is in such an intense place these days, people through social media and other forms of connection are more awake and willing to do things that they haven't done before.
Yeah, because I do think it also, I think the setting also really depends. Like if somebody is coming to work with you, I think already it's like them showing up is a big thing. You know, it's like there's some consciousness, there's some awareness around, listen, I've done it all. I'm exhausted. You know, I'm struggling. I'm in pain. And so there's that willingness, like you said, to open. And I think also you have an ability, like you said, you're there to help guide them. Like you're not there to fix anybody.
Right.
It's more of like being a guide to help them reach that awareness. And yeah, it's obviously in my, you know, that one particular situation where I'm just was, you know, laying on this Rolfer's massage table. At that moment, it's like, yeah, you don't may not feel as comfortable to like, ooh, explore like what's going on here. Whereas the Linklater situation was a little different. Somebody who works with actors, who works with people that, you know, clearly are very open and have no problem showing emotion. It's something, it's a paradigm shift that I would like to see in our healthcare. When I think back to when I was little in Argentina, and I actually went with my grandfather to visit his patients because that's how he did it. My grandfather was super old school. You know, he was like practicing medicine like in the 40s and 50s, you know? So he would always build a relationship with the patients. And I always found that to be quite special because, again, I feel like there was healing going on so many levels. It's like, yes, here's the prescription for your, you know, whatever it is, physical ailment that you're dealing with. But I found it really special that my grandfather spent so much time and even entering the space, like going to somebody's home, whereas the healthcare industry, which I consider honestly now just a disease management industry, like it's,
yeah,
how is it serving us? I think there's a big, like what you're doing, I think is so incredible because it's like you're seeing a person as a symptom and then just, you know, writing stuff on a, you know, prescription pad and just like, bye. And then there's no questioning of not what are you eating, not what how are you? How do you feel? Are you happy with your job? How's your relationship? I mean, you could be eating kale till it's coming out of your ear, but if your thoughts are toxic, if you're in a job that you hate, it's a little problematic considering you do it from 9 to 5. Most people are clocking in 9 to 5, like pretty much all year. Yeah. Or you're in a relationship that's completely toxic. I don't think, yeah, there's enough attention around how that's feeding disease or pain or ailment. And unless, of course, somebody's working with someone like you, who's a holistic practitioner, who's seeing the person as a whole And there's so many parts to it. There's so much more than just, oh, what did you eat today? And like, did you go for a run? I mean, that's important, obviously. But I think the issues are a lot deeper. And I guess creating that awareness, I think, is what's most difficult, because subconscious is sub, you know, it's like, it's down there. Not the easiest thing to access, but I find it so fascinating, and I'm just so happy you're doing the work that you're doing, because I really feel like we need it.
Yeah. And you know, those aren't random things, like people having a bad relationship or mm-hmm. being in a job that they hate and the things that are going on in there. These things aren't random. Everything is interconnected on one level or another. That's the nature of this beautiful world that we're a part of. It's everything matters. Everything has a connection. We're just not always able to see the direct connection, but it's connected. And as you were saying, like people come on in with all kinds of challenges, whether it be sleep or chronic pain or immune or hormonal imbalance, digestive types of challenges. And they start in that way. And what I find to be so fascinating, Marinella, is that all of a sudden we start to realize, oh, my goodness, at the core is emotion. At the core is, am I being intentional right now? Mm-hmm. How am I processing this moment? How am I looking at my past or looking towards my future? And what ends up happening is, after people start to do this work and really understand its application, people evolve and they start to become proactive, and they don't wait for, you know, the ship to start sinking to bail out the water. People start doing things, as you were saying, more than just eating and right. Exercising, but doing that inner work, whether it be breath, affirmation, meditation, using Lifeline as a means to plant seeds in your subconscious mind of your dreams, of your desires, of your greatest life, so that you live a life that you love to live, as you were saying at the beginning, right at the beginning, mm-hmm. you know, so that we be at our peak edge and really ride that wave of life, because life is, it goes by. And it's right. precious and amazing. And what are we going to do that puts wind in our sail, makes us feel joy and confident at the same time, calm?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why remaining present is just, it's so vital to our happiness.
At the same time, though, the subconscious mind's triggered every 3 to 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. So as much as you want to stay present, you know, here we are being triggered into the past of regret, woulda, coulda, shoulda, or right. being triggered in the future of anxieties and worries and catastrophic outcomes. That's happening for everybody all day long on one level or another. And we want to outsmart it. We want to fight it. We want to fix it. But the subconscious mind is 7 times faster than our greatest ninja trained self.
Right.
So it's like, so the ultimate thing is, then how do we create a loving relationship with this part of ourself that first is subconscious, second runs 90 to 98% of the roost. 2 to 10% of who we are is conscious. Only 2 to 10% of us actually is capable of choosing in any given moment. Mm. There are driving forces that are influencing us that everything comes from. So to create a loving relationship with this part of ourself that is absolutely fear-based, reactive-based, programmed, there's an art and a science to that. And that's the Lifeline technique. It's a manifestation system that takes people through unique steps that puts us in the driver's seat and gives us a choice where we thought we didn't have one.
Yeah, and that's so beautiful. And I think at the core of the Lifeline technique is, if I were to sum it up, it's like, you have to feel to heal. You have to be willing to feel. You have to be willing to feel. And yeah, now that I've done a lot of work and, you know, I'm much older and wiser, everyone. No, like, oh, I'm just so advanced, everybody. But it's true. It's like, it's scary. Even hopping on the stage, I have vivid memories of, you know, the acting coach being like, okay, what is going on here? Cause there are holy walls is, you know, another coach that I also remember just being like, you know, this is, you have so much talent on some fronts, and on other fronts, there's really a fear to feel. Right. There's a fear to feel. You can act great from the head up. You're great at memorizing lines. You're good at paying attention to your partner. Everything's very mechanically in order, should we say. You're a perfectionist, and you're polite, and everything's, you know, just cookie cutter. But really, again, it goes back to like, you have to be that sacrificial lamb. You have to be willing to feel. And I did have little outbursts of, where it would just be a regular conversation and then it would just be sobbing. And I'm like, what kind of trauma? Like, I don't remember having that much of a traumatic life, but clearly something has been denied. His feelings have been kind of shoved away along the way. Yeah. So the way he said it was very interesting to me. It also spoke to me. He's like, well, imagine a garden hose. He's like, well, imagine a garden hose, just the power's on, the water's on, and it has a kink in it. And he's like, and it's had a kink for 30 some odd years. So what's happening now, and what I'm trying, you know, it can be scary. We don't want to completely like release it, but it's almost like, burp, like unkinking it little by little. And there's going to be just sprouts. I mean, the water's just going to gush out, and then we're going to close it up again and allow you to process a little bit and then keep unkinking, you know, to get you to a level where you can comfortably act without being so afraid, you know? Mm. I found that to be so interesting because I'm just confused as to like, what's happening? You know, like, where are these tears? What is this sadness? What is going on here? And he's like, well, it's a lot of what most of the world, you know, most of the humans do, which is just repress, you know, how are you doing? I'm fine. Instead of being like, wow, I'm really feeling pretty crappy today, actually.
For sure. Or just the opposite. Because I think people oftentimes just have a hard time just owning our light, mm-hmm. and owning our true value and being in that. So it's wild. Yeah. Well, you've had some great experiences with your acting, and that's really a great thing. It prepares you to at least know how to begin to know how to feel and begin to navigate in this amazing journey of life.
Yeah. And again, it's like, this isn't, you know, we all hold on to so many subconscious beliefs. So it is a little bit of a journey. And I do think that we, you know, we do need guides like yourself. We do need somebody that also we feel safe with. And I think that energy is very important as well. Who's sitting in front of you, who's helping you, you know, who's surrounding you, and to be a little bit more conscious, really not just about like figuring out the whole thing. Why am I here and answering these deeper questions, but just how do I feel? Just as simple as that. I started to break it down to be as simple as that. And it really helped me personally just to have something happen and be like, how do I feel? Okay. I just spoke to this person. How do I feel? You know, not to like, you know, micro feel everything, but just to kind of gain more of an understanding. Cause I do consider myself to be, you know, also pretty heady. I think most people are just, you know, we've got jobs to do. We got to get this done, that done. But allowing yourself kind of to drop in, it really helps create more awareness around, wow, okay, I need to be a little bit more aware of what's going on when I'm experiencing X, Y, and Z and how I'm feeling about it.
For sure.
Thank you so much. I mean, this has been wonderful. I love what you're doing. I so enjoyed the documentary Heal. I particularly, again, was so drawn to what you said about, you know, the pain and the symptoms, like all being a portal, and you encouraging everyone to be, you know, no judgment, just be a little bit, you know, just be an observer and explore more of those subconscious beliefs. And I'd love to hear, like, you know, what you're working on now. I know you're out, you're doing tons of conferences. I think like we were both at Germany at the same time the last time we spoke, I think, or we exchanged emails.
You were at is that where we saw each other, at the Heal Congress?
I wasn't at the Congress. I was actually just happened to be in Germany at the same time you were there. Cause I think we tried to connect to do the podcast, and you were doing the Heal Congress, I think, in Germany. And I was like, wow, I wish I would have known. It was already too late, but.
Have you ever experienced the Lifeline yourself?
No, I haven't. That's another thing I would love to.
Yeah, because it's an interesting thing to even have a dialogue about. Because on one level, you can talk about it and compare it to different things. On another level, once you actually jump on into this unique thing that we call a portal, the awareness that it creates for ourselves is something that really can't even be spoken of. It's, mm-hmm. you know, we do our best with that. But I'd encourage it. It'd be a wonderful thing for you to have that kind of experience. You would love it with your open heart, your open mind.
I would absolutely love it. And I want Tom to try it as well. You know, I'm sad he couldn't join us today, but he's also a really big fan. And yeah, before I let you go, I'd love for you to tell the audience like where they can find you, where they can experience it. If there's anything else you're working on, we'd love to hear it all.
Yeah, cool. Well, you can find me on our website, which is thelifelinecenter.com, the lifeline, and then center, C-E-N-T-E-R.com. And my wife and I and our three kids are about to go on a huge journey around the world. We're leaving July 1st, and we are going to be traveling throughout the United States. I'll be teaching in Memphis, North Carolina, California. I'll be traveling through Colorado, Santa Fe, and then we'll be leaving at the end of September to Australia, spending 3 months there, traveling throughout and teaching throughout, and then heading to Bali and spending a couple months there and teaching and experiencing, and then heading to Thailand and potentially heading back to Germany again. We'll see how that rolls. And then come on back. So we're just going to take a leap year of just living life, and our kids are 14, 12, and 10. And so just to have an amazing experience as a family, and also just doing what we love to do.
Oh, I just love to hear that, especially because you're uprooting and you do have like three kids with you. And I mean, I don't know if you know, but I'm full on nomad and I'm a huge traveler, and I encourage it so much.
Yeah.
All the time. And I think that's amazing because the kids are going to experience all these different cultures. And I think that's so wonderful. And you're out, you know, spreading light and love, and you work with all ages, right? It's not.
Oh yeah.
Right. Okay. That's beautiful too. This was so lovely. Thank you so much, Dr. Oisman. And yeah, you guys, this is Talking Shift Podcast. That's what it's all about. So hopefully we've opened you up to some different possibilities there. Thanks again so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.